Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Come on, Petco.
Let's go, Petco. I mean, listen, it sounds like you don't really play it, Ostapenko. You just kind of weather the storm.
When she said I play Ostapenko, I said, well, just hang in there, kid. Hang in there. You got to hang in there.
It seems like no better place to start than watching this indoor, definitively fall vibe tournament after spending a couple weeks in tennis paradise in the hot desert. To talk about the idea of tennis paradise, which is, you know, really a state of mind.
Yes, it is. It is a state of mind. And I can tell you, I've played in Moscow many, many times, and it was definitely not my favorite place to play.
Well, you don't want to get the Moscovites mad.
No, you know why it was a difficult place to play is because it's played in the huge Olympic stadium that they had back in the 80s, 1980 to be precise. And there's like five courts inside that massive stadium, and it's kind of weird. It has like a weird vibe about it, but it's also at the end of the year. It was always literally one of the last tournaments of the year. So by that time, you're completely and utterly fried. You know what I mean?
Sure.
Like, you're just like done. And, you know, look, it's not the happiest place in the world.
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, when you go there, you're already like, when is the year ending? Where am I going on holiday? I mean, literally, there's not one tennis player there that week that's not looking at their computer going, where am I going on vacation?
Right. At least so, it's in the back of their minds.
No, it's 100% in the forefront of their mind. Believe me, it's a very difficult sort of space to be when you're at these tournaments at the end of the year, because particularly in Moscow, it's cold. It's like often, you know, cloudy, and it's just, I don't know, it's a difficult place to sort of get up and get really into, because unless you're Russian, then that's why so many Russians win this tournament, because they're just so happy to be home. And I mean, they're literally going to be home, and once the tournament's over, they're like, okay, good, I'm at home. But for other players, they're like, when am I getting out of here?
Well, listen, so, yeah. I mean, I know that this was a strange year because we had Indian Wells not as part of the Sunshine Double, which is the first half of the California Florida swing, with Indian Wells and Miami being paired back to back, but instead a delayed Indian Wells in October. But I kind of like the vibe, an October little end of the season. You know, if you ended on that, that would be a great place to wrap it up, don't you think?
Yeah, but it's yes, in a lot of ways, yes, that would be a great place to finish the year out. And then whoever makes the WTA finals or ATP finals, then, you know, you would be happy to keep playing, you know. But but having said that, it's too close to the US Open in a lot of respects, because a lot of people take the time to come to New York, and whether it be a week or two, and bring their kids, and, you know, it's a full-on, like, it's a vacation slash, you know, something people want to do.
Right.
But at this time of the year, to have Indian Wells is tough. You know, there's no school holidays. I mean, you know what it's like. You've got a 7-year-old, so not necessarily a place you're going to go to in, you know, October. But having said that, I'll be happy when it's back in March, just because it swings better with the US Open. And that's the only reason why, because it is a really nice time of the year, although it's really hot out there that time of the year. And you have,
yeah, I was surprised at how much hotter it was in October than it is in March, just because I guess the summer sunshine is still kind of baking out there, as opposed to, you know, when you get it in March, it's sort of like a nice reprieve from the winter and it doesn't feel quite as hot.
Yeah, I mean, the only issue about having it in March is that in the day it's beautiful, but at night it's frigging cold. So there's kind of like, they could find a happy medium there, it would be really, really nice, but you can't complain. I prefer to watch tennis when I'm warm, not when I'm bloody freezing. But and I really preferred playing when it was hot as a player than cold. So especially when you get old and you've got old bones.
Yeah, no, I know. I went out to play this morning in Brooklyn and it was 50 degrees, which seems like it's not super, super bad. That's only what, like 15 degrees Celsius or so? Maybe my centigrade is not in good
practice. That might be about 12 degrees, I guess. Maybe 11.
So it wasn't warm. I really prefer when I'm warming up. Like I'm already sweating when I'm warming up. If I didn't break a sweat the whole time, something's gone seriously wrong.
Yeah, I hated playing in the cold. Hated it anyway. But it's brutal. Old bones to me.
Yeah. And you still do. So, I mean, now you do like crazy.
Let's have old bone. Thanks.
Let's talk a little bit about the end of the season as it looks at the moment. We've got Guadalajara on the horizon for the women. The men's tour finals are going to be headed back to Italy this year, which is nice because they've had the next gen tournament, but now they also have the tour finals. And we've just had this amazing 2 weeks in the desert. You and I spent a good amount of time there, you more than I. And then we've got a few indoors and then boom, Bob's your uncle, season's wrapped. So we actually have quite a few things to discuss coming out of this Indian Wells, don't you think?
We do. We have another new, fresh, incredible, young, talented name on the women's side. Shaka Rooney is Paula Badosa. What an amazing, first of all, what an amazing final. I mean, between her and Vika Azarenka. I mean, Vika sort of hasn't had a great, you know, last couple of months. I mean, not for her standards. So for her to get through the tournament and make the final was terrific. And, you know, someone put out on Twitter that, you know, you can't keep up with the young players, you know, something about her being a little bit just because she was older. I'm like, this had nothing to do with her being older. She just got tight. I mean, she fought so hard in the third set to come back. She almost got to got down three love, fought back, got it back to it in a position that you felt like, okay, she's going to win now. It's got to four all. And then she broke serve, but Dosa had so many opportunities to like really put that third set away and didn't. And then Vika breaks serve and you're like, and my first thought was, will her serve hold up, right? Because it's been her Achilles heel her entire career. I mean, if she had someone like Serena serve or just a better, more reliable serve, she would have won a few more Grand Slams. There's no doubt about it. I mean, particularly the US Open when she lost to Serena. I think she served for that match twice and double folded a couple of times. And so she comes down and plays two great points, two great serves, another great serve at 30 love. And I'm thinking, all right, the weakest shot in her game is holding up under pressure. And it was nice to see. And then she just missed the easiest for her, for most to a pro players, the easiest forehand down the line to go up 40 love, three match points. And I could see with Paula, it was kind of like she'd almost resigned to the fact that 30 love down in that game, that she was like, well, it's been a great tournament. I've played a great match today. And I just didn't quite get over the line. And then inexplicably, Vika makes four horrendous errors, just to literally hand the game back to Badosa, which was crazy to me. And then I think Paula Badosa really sort of looked at herself in that moment, thought, hey, listen, everybody gets tight, even the greats. I can win this match. And she played that tiebreak way better than Vika and deserved to win it. And it was so nice to see the after match like embrace from Vika and, you know, the love that was shown to Paula from Vika. And just, it was just a really nice moment. She really understood the moment so well, Azarenka, and handing the praise to her younger opponent. And I just thought it was a great tournament for them. And you know what? Selfishly, it was kind of nice to have that really long 3-hour match before the men's. And then you sort of saw, you know, the crowd sort of start to leave, because this is what happens a lot of times. The women have to play second fiddle and people go home and they miss out on seeing the best match of the tournament. And so that was kind of nice. And then Cam Norrie comes out. Thank God he won that tournament, because the ATP, whoa, do they have some questions to answer on this Basashvili thing. And you and I have talked about Zverev ad nauseum, but you know, Basashvili is literally like in court having to fight this domestic violence. So I was just glad he didn't win the tournament, because I don't know. What are your thoughts on him?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people ask us like, oh, you know, we posted on our Instagram because our incredible photographer, David Bartholo from Gorilla vs. Bear, was on the scene at the tournament in the photo pit all the 2 weeks taking Polaroids of players. And he just has such a great eye and he's a great designer. He does a lot of our creative work. And we got him a photo credential as we have in years past. And he just shot all these incredible things. So we posted one of the Polaroids of Cam Norrie ahead of the final saying, you know, we're on Team Norrie today. And usually we don't pick a side. Usually all of us at Team Racket you know, we root for good tennis. We root for good points. Yeah, sure. Sometimes, you know, some of the stories attached to those points or players is more compelling than other stories, but you know, we're fans of tennis, honestly, and we never really like picking a side. That said, when there's such an obvious shortcoming in the tour, sort of administrative apparatus, where a player who has been, again, credibly accused of domestic violence, and in this case, the woman, his ex-wife or wife at the time, pressed charges, and he's now on trial for 5 counts, or expected to be convicted of 5 counts of domestic abuse and battery. In any other league, somebody currently under investigation or on trial would be suspended, so they wouldn't be playing. So the commentators, like the ones we had on the Tennis Channel comment, who didn't mention the fact that he was on trial for domestic violence. I mean, it's just tough. Like, is Cam Norrie supposed to acknowledge that in his speech? Is he supposed to acknowledge it himself? You know, there's a world in which this guy gets exonerated and, you know, he gets found not guilty, and then he gets to come back to the tour because he had his trial and he beat the charges, and fine, then we all move on. But in the case of an ongoing investigation, every other professional sport that is big enough to merit an international audience and governing bodies that have a lot of, you know, thoughtful people in them would have sat this guy during the trial's duration. And so instead, we're all left to be like, well, I guess we have to root against him, or I guess we have to have a weird conversation about the fact that he hasn't yet been convicted, but
or not, have
not looking good, or not have a conversation if you're American tennis commentators. You know, and it's just a position that nobody should be in except because this guy should be sitting. And, you know, if you don't like the fact that that's the position we're advocating for, man, I don't know. Look at yourself in the mirror. Like, I don't know what to tell you. Yeah. But the truth is, in every other sport, this exists. And frankly, on the tennis books, if anybody's been credibly accused of violence of any kind on or off the court, there's rules on the books saying that you can't be on the tour and have that happen. And so I think we'd all like to see the tour, and it's been announced that they're going to create this commission and do their own probe, especially in the case of Zverev, but hopefully in a way that affects all players, you know, that it's looked at. And so then we can sort of have, you know, at least more of a clean conscience when we talk about what we want to talk about, which is the tennis. Going back to the women's final, I think, you know, for me, from the first or second point, it was just very, very clear these guys were going to have a barn burner of a match. And yep. I'm really, really happy because the women's tour, again, continues to deliver again and again and again. And in the case of Badosa, you know, this is a woman who, you know, has been really making some noise for the past couple of years, but especially this year in Madrid, getting very, very close to the final, losing to Ash Barty. A semi, beating a bunch of really good players along the way, including Krejcikova, who ended up winning the French Open. So, you know, this is not it's a new face for us to see holding the trophy, but, you know, it just, again, proves there's a bunch of compelling characters, a bunch of depth. And the fact that somebody like Azarenka, who last won Indian Wells 4 years ago against Maria Sharapova, is making an incredible run again and playing her heart out in a final against a new face. You know, what a great ending to what I think everybody agreed was a really, really great tournament. And you notice, again, just like the US Open, we didn't have the current big four. We didn't have Serena. We didn't have Roger. We didn't have Novak. And we didn't have Rafa. Did we miss them? Sure. But did we need them? No. So in my mind, this is a great, great foretell. Well, the women's side certainly didn't need them. The men's side, we'll still see. You know,
I think the men still need a couple of their stars, because I just do. But you know, when we go back, look, we always want to see the stars there. There's no question about it. But as I said, after the US Open, you know, we had Andy Murray and we had some really big names, obviously. But, you know, the bottom line is that no player is bigger than the sport. And the entertainment factor behind these tournaments are all about great tennis. And that's the bottom line. And, you know, just a little thing on Badosa, like we've talked about mental health and all that sort of stuff for the last year with so many players sort of openly talking about it now. And she was one player, you know, that has said that she has struggled through the years with, you know, depression and anxiety and, you know, her mental health struggles. So to see her sort of go through that maturation and talk about it, and be open with it. I think it's fantastic that she was able to produce that tennis and show people that, look, if you get help and you talk about it and you openly talk about it, you can get through tough moments like that. So it was really nice to see a young player. And I tell you what, I was on the court with her at Wimbledon this year with Sam. We were four on a court, and she was hitting with Krejcikova, actually. And I said to Sam, man, her ball is a monster. Like, her serve, when the ball comes off her racket, it's like, it's a thud that it's very rare that you hear a ball that's hit with that kind of velocity. So she hits a ton of spin on the ball. She hits a big ball, and she has so many things that she can get better at. I think her serve can get a little bit vulnerable from time to time. We saw that in the final. So I think technically she could change a few things, and she definitely does not like to move forward to the net. Like, there were so many times I was like, oh, just take that ball out of the air. And, you know, she'd let it bounce. So there are little departments of her game that can get so much better, which is what I love to see from a player that possesses so much ability, is that they have so much room for improvement. So I'm really excited to see how she goes going further. I think she's a star in the making if she can keep healthy and mentally keep healthy, which is, she's talked about it. It's not like I'm bringing up anything that hasn't been talked about. So
yeah. But,
I think
but let's, here's
and
a call.
She's eight on now in the race for the WTA final. So there's going to be some interesting things happen at the WTA finals in Guadalajara, which you're very excited about.
Yeah, you better bring me. I don't know how, but WTA, if you're listening, get me down there. I just want to say yes or no, Badosa reminds you of Sharapova. I mean, for me, it's
oh,
yes,
so much.
100%. The service 100%. Motion, the forehand, I mean, they look alike, obviously.
Well, her groundy's not so much. She hits way, way, way more spin than Maria does. Maria was such a flat forehand, and, you know, the backhand was pretty, I mean, Maria's backhand was as beautiful as it comes, whereas Paula kind of takes a bit of a, you know, more of a circle swing, you know, circle forehand, circle backhand, where she gets a lot more spin on the ball. That's obviously growing up in Spain on clay. But the serve motion, absolutely, which is why I worry a little bit about her shoulder and about, you know, the double faults, because Maria had an issue with that as well. So there are departments that she can definitely get a little bit better at technically, yeah. But absolutely, she's definitely.
I mean, the forehand, the take back for me is a little bit more what it is reminiscent, right? Like that super long take back, like Maria, it's fun. I mean, yeah. Listen, I miss Maria Sharapova on the tour. I think the tour is better with Maria on it, whether Maria agrees with that or not. And so it's nice to have like.
I think Maria is happy.
Fine, yeah, she's happy doing fine.
Like she's going on like Shark Tank now and doing appearances like that. She's fine. She's doing fine.
Maria's doing just fine without tennis. But yeah. Tennis, you know, listen, it's fun to see her, and it's fun to see her and the Williams sisters interacting with each other and hanging out and being besties, both at the Met Gala and running into each other in LA. It's pretty cool. So let's shift a little bit because we have a guest today. And, you know, full disclosure, BNP brought you back for the finals weekend so we could get a little bit of the story. You know, this is not what I would call a sponsored episode by any stretch of the imagination, but this is a way for us to kind of dig into and talk to one of the leaders of the sport, an organization that this man has worked for the past 2+ decades, nearly 30 years, has been the biggest and fattest wallet for the sport of tennis. And, you know, you and I talk a lot about the future of tennis. We've featured folks from PK's organization, Cosmos, which owns the Davis Cup, in our pages. We've talked to folks like Patrick Mouratoglou, you know, people who are kind of looking out for the sport from a very sort of like corporate leadership level. And are they doing enough to capture the tennis boom? Are they doing enough to address issues of equity and access and inequality, you know, both in the professional side of the tour, but also recreationally? And so I thought your chat with Jean-Yves Fillion, who is the CEO of the BNP Paribas Bank in America, was super fascinating. You guys had a really, really good chat. Will you set that up a little bit? And where were you guys? Because there was some great background noise.
Yeah, we were in a suite that no one was in. We managed to sort of corral one with not a lot of sound so we could do the pod, but in the background we could hear, you know, the court announcer, Andrew Krasny, and they were, you know, talking, music was playing in the background. We had a couple of people come into the suite now, but we were live at the tennis doing this interview. He was running around doing a ton of like media and work, and he's constantly promoting the sport. And Johnny spoke very openly and candidly about what BNP Paribas' focus is on community. It is very important for him, the grassroots of the sport, not just the, you know, the glitz and the glamour of a tournament like Tennis in Paradise in Indian Wells, but it's more about, I mean, they're a massive, massive sponsor. And I said that ad nauseum on the pod about how important BNP Paribas has been through the years. And obviously in Indian Wells, they've been huge, but we're talking Davis Cup, Fed Cup, ITF stuff, Hall of Fame. Roland Garros, which is where it all started. He explains that. But what a lovely man. What a great sponsor to have, because, yes, they're a bank, they're a financial firm, they're global. You think money, you think greed, but really we have banks. It's just part of life. You know, we have financial firms. What do they do with their money? And I just feel like they've done such a great they've blessed tennis by being a sponsor. So he's just a wonderful person, and everybody sort of gets something out of what he says about how important BNP Paribas' relationship with tennis is. Yeah.
All right. Good guy. With no further ado, here's you and Jean-Yves coming to us live from BNP Tennis Paradise. And you and I will be left to contemplate Tennis Paradise through the lens
next
of
year.
Moscow indoors until Guadalajara. So get on that. Get on the stage.
Yes. Until Indian Wells next year, where we are very, I'm so excited. It's only 5 months away now. So we'll be back then.
All right. Enjoy. Thank you, Renee. Talk soon.
Thanks, guys. Bye.
Hi, thanks for joining me for Racquet Magazine Podcast.
It's a pleasure to join you. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, you know, usually I interview players or ex-players or whomever, so it's nice to talk to people that are involved in the sport as deeply as mm-hmm. what you are. And of course, I'm here talking to Jean-Yves Fillion from BNP Paribas. You are CEO of BNP Paribas. I guess the first question I always ask players, the first question is, why tennis? Like, mm-hmm. why did you choose tennis? And my question to you is a little the same. Mm-hmm. Why BNP Paribas chose tennis? Why this sport in particular?
It started a long time ago. It started in 1973. The story says BNP was financing a refurbishing project in the Roland Garros stadium, and I guess this is where the bank had an opportunity to basically put the sign of BNP on the backboard mm-hmm. of the French Open.
Yeah,
and since then, I think this logo, this green logo, became quite symbolic.
Yeah.
And this is really what got the bank into tennis 50 years ago. And since then, the bank has just, invested and expanded its reach and support of tennis around the world. The values of tennis fits really well the values of the bank. It's around sportsmanship, it's around self-improvement, it's around... it's an individual sport, but it's around the community and the collectivity, and it's a global sport. And BNP Paribas is a bank that has presence in 72 countries.
And just for everybody, our listeners out there, if you hear any ambient noise from behind you, we're actually here at Tennis Paradise in Indian Wells, California, for the BNP Paribas tournament out here, which is one of the favorite stops on. It was certainly one of the favorite stops for me, and I know that all the players love coming to this event. I guess on a personal note, you have been with BNP Paribas now for so long, many, many decades, and you are such a leader in, of course, with the company now. How does a guy that was on the French sailing team, am I right?
Yes.
How does a guy have the passion to continue? Because, I mean, really, you're making a lot of the decisions based on what BNP Paribas does with its marketing and its money. Why does a guy that was so in love with sailing end up loving and pushing tennis so much? Because you talk about the French Open, but the expansion of BNP Paribas in tennis has been enormous.
You, I grew up in the French Alps. Skiing a lot, obviously, but we were living along a lake, and the yacht club there, across the street from the yacht club, was the tennis club,
mm-hmm.
and I just loved, playing tennis when I was not on the water,
mm-hmm.
and working for initially Paribas, but which became BNP Paribas, I share the love for the sport. I play, and the what I like in with the way we look at tennis today, it's obviously it's professional tennis like what we have here, but the bank is really involved in many dimensions of the game of tennis. It's amateur tennis, it's club tennis, it's wheelchair tennis, and it's really in the DNA of the bank. And that helps, you know, driving decisions and making decisions, particularly when your clients love it, mm-hmm. when your staff love it. You have few, at least as I know, few institutions who define themselves as who are tennis, which is what this bank does, in addition to obviously stating that we're a bank for a changing world. And our World Tennis website, I'm hearing, is one of the most, you know, visited website about tennis, and it's still obviously a website, you know, run by the bank. Then it's really embedded in what we do, and as the CEO of the US bank in what I do as well. And we're here at Indian Wells, as you mentioned, we're seeing 1,000 clients over the last, you know, over the 2 weeks here. Even though it's a very special, you know, it's a full edition that was never meant to be, right, of Indian Wells, we are expecting 100,000 of fans, which I think is really good for, hopefully, the world of tennis. Yeah. When I speak to the players, they just...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Like the fact that it's happening and we don't skip it, you know, 2 years in a row.
Yeah.
And and I, you know, I've been here every year over the last, you know, 13 years. We've been sponsoring this tournament. I can tell you it's good for the local economy, and they need it.
Yeah.
And the real good news here is the 2022 edition is just, you know, 5 months away.
We're right around the corner from it. It'll be great to see, because I think next year, come March, in its usual slot, we're going to see these stands absolutely packed, and we'll have everybody back. And I think it's phenomenal that, you know, that you guys put the tournament on at this time of the year, because it really does help, as you said, the economy and tennis in general. How does BNP address equality, equity and inclusion access? Because you talk about, because BNP is a financial global conglomerate. It's probably, you know, seen by a lot of people as finance. Finance means rich. Finance means wealthy customers. But how do you reconcile also going to the grassroots of something like tennis? Because I know how much money you're investing in the grassroots of community tennis.
And you're right. In the meantime, being a global firm means knowing by definition about diversity. When you have a presence in 72 countries, you'd better know and understand what diversity means. Being very involved in supporting clients and being very connected to the trends, you know about sustainability and ESG. And SDG from the United Nations, then sustainability is critical to the business we conduct. And just being a firm with 200,000 people worldwide and 14,000 people in the United States, you better understand what corporate and social responsibility means, and equity, equal treatment, mm-hmm. is a big part of it.
Yeah.
There is so much to do and still so much to be done, but that's an important, obviously, dimension of what we do. This is probably why tennis is very critical to the bank as well, because it fits really well what tennis is about.
Mm-hmm.
Then being in the grassroots of tennis, you are connected to all these dimensions.
Yeah.
But maybe to be more specific around actions, we don't sponsor tennis tournaments. We do not offer or provide equal treatment, equal pay, or, you know, fits all these criteria you and I just listed.
Yeah.
And that's a statement this bank made probably ahead of everybody else, you know, quite some time ago, including this tournament here, by the way, at Indian Wells.
Ahead of your time. One of the things that, you know, I'm a bit of a watcher of CNBC myself. I see you on there from time to time. And one of the things that I remember you talking about was, you know, ESC, sort of environmental, social change.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And you guys are so big, obviously, in derivatives and mm-hmm. making a difference.
You know the banking world very well, actually.
A little bit, actually. You know, that interested me because, you know, we're talking about you investing in, like you said, you want to invest in tennis tournaments that are equal to men and women, but also it's important for BNP to be a part of the environment and making better decisions in what you invest in. The importance of that is, as well, when you talk about access for kids in communities that are going to be affected by weather changes and various things, is that an important part of your philosophy?
It's more than important, it's fundamental.
Yeah.
On the sustainability, when I know that I know you are a CNBC viewer, on the sustainability front, on supporting the transition to a better planet, a greener space, the bank has redesigned its product offering to support clients in this direction in a major way. And here we're seeing some very fascinating and interesting developments, which we're very proud to ahead. Again, have been ahead of our time here.
Mm-hmm.
And on youth, on kids, I think you're spot on here. But you know, here actions speak more than, you know, philosophy or words. For instance, here, we offer 4 scholarships a year. Even last year when the tournament, got canceled, we still offered the 4 scholarships to, you know, kids, you know, living in the Coachella Valley, meaning deserving kids.
Yeah.
They have to play tennis. It's pretty competitive. They have to write an essay. But basically, we've been sending, next year will be the 6th year, we've been sending initially 2 kids, now 4 kids to college, university, you know, IC Irvine, USC, UCLA, and others, all the colleges, you know, they want to go to. That's one example.
Mm-hmm.
Another example, supporting youth and supporting kids, we have created, actually we announced it here 3 years ago, BNP Paribas Mac One with Patrick and John. Yeah. Patrick was here actually a few days ago.
Yeah, I saw him on his Instagram. He was, you know, telling us all he was in the desert.
Here it's supporting, you know, deserving kids.
Yeah.
This one is really for kids who could be on the tour, very talented. We had two of them here over the weekend with their parents.
Yeah.
One of them actually got a wild card and actually had too much point, you know, could have gone even further in the tournament.
Wow.
Another program regarding youth, again, you know, actions speak better than words. This time with John McEnroe and Billie Jean King, we have a program which we are the title sponsor in New York City called City Parks Tennis, where we offer for the whole summer, tennis instruction, tennis tournaments to 6,000 kids across the 5 boroughs.
Wow.
And you know, it's to me, it's as inspiring, as motivating, at times even more, than obviously being part of these amazing, you know, slams, and this one is a quasi, you know, slam as well.
Absolutely.
And to your excellent point about, you know, the grassroots,
that's really where
the action takes place. You need to be consistent across these dimensions to really understand it, be part of it, and push it forward.
And you also announced something here with Felix Auger Aliassime. Sure. I saw.
Sure.
What a great person to choose. First of all, he's one of my absolute favorites for many reasons.
He's amazing for many reasons.
He's just a great guy. I can't call him a kid anymore. No, he's a kid to me and to both of us. But tell us a little bit about that initiative with Felix.
The bank is very involved in supporting the sport of tennis. We actually we don't sponsor players per se.
Yep.
Felix is a great example of actually the bank being more involved with one player, but it's really contributing to his charity.
Yeah.
Then for every point he wins, Felix gives $5.
Yeah.
And we give 15.
That's amazing.
Then the better he gets, and he's already extremely good, the more he wins, then the better the charity. And we are, you know, matching three times his contribution, which we believe is a great way actually to support an amazing player and just an amazing person, individual who lives with his time.
And I believe that through care, and it's through for education of young kids?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I just think that's phenomenal, because education obviously is so
then super here important. We go full circle, you know, back to the excellent points you were making earlier, you know, why tennis, why, you know, values. Mm-hmm. Equity, diversity, being really connected to the communities.
Yeah.
That's another illustration of what tennis brings to the bank, and obviously what the bank brings to the world of tennis, or to the communities we are connected with through tennis. There's a program we have here which is called ACES for Trees, but it's dedicated to the tournament.
Yeah.
Like every ACs served,
yeah,
basically we contribute, I believe, $1 to basically to support, you know, to fix, you know, deforestation because of the wildfires in California.
Yeah.
Then that's another way to leverage tennis and be really a contributor to the community here in the state. We have a strong presence in, not to mention obviously Bank of the West, our community and regional bank headquartered in San Francisco.
That's great. I think it's very important for people to know those things, because as I said, you know, BNP is, Paribas is seen as a financial conglomerate, and a lot of people at ground zero think money and greed, and they're not understanding that it's actually spreading the wealth is super important, and it's important for a company like yours in particular.
And I believe, you know, if looking forward, for any companies, you know, financial institutions or corporates,
you're pressuring them.
Absolutely. And if you don't believe, we so much believe in it, all the values we shared today. But even somebody who doesn't believe in these values, which obviously is not BNP Paribas, I think your future becomes very limited.
Yeah.
Because it's going to be extremely complicated to attract the best talents.
Yeah.
If you don't attract the best talents, the right people, whoever you are, irrespective of how well capitalized and rich you are, there is not that
it's
much
not
more
that.
To do,
right.
You know, in the near or in the midterm future.
What is the most interesting thing for you currently with the sport of tennis right now?
Well, probably some of the dimensions we covered, and the world of tennis being more and more connected to the communities. And I think if I look from where we sit, you know, sponsors and obviously BNP Paribas leveraging tennis to try to do good and to do better around, across, beyond the sport itself. Obviously, if I look at the professional tennis, I mean,
I just want everyone to know that you're actually, that your grin got really big when you started thinking about that.
The new generation coming in
is
just amazing. Obviously, Roger and Rafa, and still, obviously, Djokovic, you know, we saw Andy Murray here having quite a good run here, and these four players,
metal hip and all,
right? It's totally true, but these four players have dominated obviously the world of tennis for many years, and now we see the new generation coming in, and it's so exciting, they're also inspiring, and by the way, both on the men's side and the women's side. And beyond the amazing tennis they show, they are so well spoken.
Yes.
And I think it bodes very well for the future of the sport.
Good. Well, we hope you hang around for a lot longer. You're also on the board of the Hall of Fame, Tennis uh-huh. Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
I just love it.
And I guess the involvement for you in that, mm-hmm. How did that come about?
I love spending time with my friends, Todd Martin, Stan Smith, Charlie Passarella, actually. Charlie Passarella.
You take them out and show them around on the yacht a little bit
from time to time and vice versa. They take me on the tennis court. It means a lot because the Hall of Fame is really somewhat the guardian of the legacy and the legacy of tennis. But in the meantime, it's a wonderful bridge with the current world and the future. Mm-hmm. And I think they do an amazing job in both dimensions. And it's really a privilege to be associated to the Board of Governors. Besides, they are, also fun mm-hmm. to be with, and I can tell you,
it's a good spot.
I'm assuming you've been to the Tennis Hall of Fame in Newport. The location there, the museum.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
It's beautiful, and I think the because it's really called the International Tennis Hall of Fame. Yeah. I think it's now the dimension and the reach is going beyond. Beyond the United States, which I think is a really good thing as well.
Yeah, I mean, tennis is truly, truly, truly a global sport. Mm-hmm. It's one of the reasons why sometimes, the question is asked, when are we going to have the next American great player? When are we going to have the next, superstar coming, particularly mm-hmm. from this country? I was going to say Australia because
the next French player, by the Australian player,
or the French mm-hmm. player, but they were such the conglomerates that ruled tennis 60 years ago, 40 years ago. Mm-hmm. But now it's truly a global sport. Mm-hmm. When you see someone from Tunisia
absolutely
enter the top 10 in the world, I mean, who would have ever thought that?
Equal access, back to diversity, that's exactly what the sport mm-hmm. is becoming, and I think that's another dimension of it that will continue to attract firms, companies, sponsors who actually are very connected to these values.
I was going to ask you another question, but just to finish on that a little bit, the button on the international side of it, you guys are you have been the most unbelievable sponsors for the Billie Jean King Cup, formerly known as the Fed Cup, mm-hmm. and formerly known as the Federation Cup I was playing, but also Davis Cup. How important is it for you? Because I think people don't realize the grassroots of the ITF running something mm-hmm. like Davis Cup and the Billie Jean mm-hmm. King Cup, how important that is for small countries like someone like Anzuber from Tunisia uh-huh. to play and represent their country. How important is that still for you guys to stay a part of?
Very, very important as well. Obviously, we have a very close connection with Billie Jean.
Yeah.
And we're also excited and delighted to see the Fed Cup becoming the Billie Jean Cup by BNP Paribas.
Yeah.
It's supporting the world of the game of tennis. It's supporting the international dimension of tennis as well, and it's supporting the women playing the game so beautifully. Then being associated to the Billie Jean King is amazing, and we look forward to Prague. It's going to be taking place
soon.
In Prague very soon. I was actually with Billie Jean King and Ilana a few days ago. They were here actually celebrating the original nine.
Yes.
And they were so excited to go there.
Truly our greatest ambassador. Mm-hmm. How do we keep this boom of tennis going? Because it is a boom.
Yeah,
Noticed the uptick. Obviously, the pandemic, we don't wish that ever again mm-hmm. in life. But certainly tennis, was this one of the sports you could play during the pandemic. How do we keep this boom going?
I think it's all around focusing on many dimensions. It takes a village. Hopefully it's going to come out right, but like you just alluded to, I believe that COVID-19 actually has been a good development for tennis, because the sport is COVID-19 compliant. You have a net.
Yeah.
People were more home than, you know, they needed to exercise more. And what is, what is to do then? Oh, it's great to be go outside and play tennis, you know, to your in your local club. And we've seen the membership here, but I believe worldwide, really grow during COVID-19. And you're right, that's a boom. I believe that going forward, the more we can connect tennis with its international dimension, the more we can connect tennis, as we discussed, you know, with the communities, the more we can show not only the wonderful tournament and the amazing players we have here at the BNP Paribas Open, but making a real, making a sport that really speaks to more and more people, whether you play or you like watching or you play recreationally. I think that's where the growth will continue to come from. And I see other, you know, dimension of tennis, you know, appearing, like, you know, pickleball.
Oh, that's a sore subject with Caitlin and I at racket. We get so upset with people wanting to play paddle tennis and pickleball. We're like, no, you got to play tennis. But I get it. But when we get older, it's a smaller court.
But same thing, you're right. Actually, you know, the purist, yeah. And I'm kind of a purist as well. I mean, I In the meantime, and I'm, you know, I'm discovering the concept and I'm trying to familiarize myself with it. But when you see the many, many pickable courts, or the paddle tennis courts, you have the Californian dimension, you have the East Coast dimension with the wall, but it's more people swinging a racket.
Yeah.
And by the way, I see these people as well swinging a tennis racket, the one you and I like.
Yes, yes.
Then I think that's another, it shows that the world of tennis is adapting as well.
Yeah.
To different people, different profile, different, you know, ages as well, then I think it's going to fuel the continuing growth of the sport you and I love so much.
Yeah, and I think it's important. And I mean, I can't stress it enough. Obviously, I played for 22 years on tour and I've been now doing, you know, media for well over a decade. And we don't come across, you know, back in my day, obviously, Virginia Slims was such an important part of particularly women's tennis, like getting it even recognized and monetarily how important they were. Clearly we couldn't keep that going with the smoking thing and all, but you know, BNP Paribas has been just the most phenomenal sponsor, and I don't know, and this is just me saying thank you, I guess, from, you know, players of the last 30 years, how incredibly important your company has been to the sport of tennis. And you're going to have your naysayers, like, oh, they're only involved because of the fact that tennis is so widely seen as a global sport and, you know, it's upper echelon. But it's important for people to understand the initiatives that you're also doing. And I guess one of my last questions to you is, what do you want the legacy of BNP Paribas to be in tennis? And I'm not saying I want you to go away, because we don't want you to go away for a very long time. But what do you want the legacy, or even just people to understand about your company?
Very much what we discussed today, that we love the beauty of the sport, and obviously that you were an amazing player on tour, you know what it is, right? And this is where the most spectacular dimensions of tennis is being shown, right? Including here at the BNP Paribas Open. But in the meantime, it really goes with or alongside just loving the game, loving the people who play the game, loving the fans. By the way, here at this tournament, I spend time with the volunteers. Yesterday I visited the ball kids. It's really loving all the components of the game of tennis, and the discussion we had on youth. It has nothing to do with being a wealthy company or being in the world of finance. It's actually trying to leverage the fact that we have some means and some resources that through tennis, because of all the attributes tennis has, we can redirect, support, and reallocate some of the very good dimensions the sport has to just try to provide more access and really changing lives. Some of the kids are inequality, but it's all connected.
Yeah.
I truly believe, by the way, that sustainability, if you believe in a better planet, corporate and social responsibility, if you believe in respecting people, and diversity and inclusion are all connected. And I think you see every single day in the world of tennis as well. And that's, I don't know if this is the legacy, but I, you know, in times in legacy, you can read the future. I hope and I wish I will continue to be part of it for a while, that our firm will continue to push this one forward for all the reasons you and I discussed today, and that you amazingly capture so well, because you know the sport so well, and you just love people and love the game you've played for so long.
I do, and you know, one of the things about at Racquet Magazine and Racquet, the company in general, ours, is, you know, art, social, that is super important for us. It's not about just, you know, bringing in the upper echelons of, let's face it, white Americans or white Australians or white people in France or whatever. It's about including everybody around the world. And I think the importance of you supporting Davis Cup and Fed Cup and the initiatives like what FAA is doing and the social changes even here in the desert that you're promoting, I think that's just so very important for us at our company, and also with you to stress that's the social responsibility that a company like yours is doing now, and it's so appreciative.
Maybe one last point, if I may, just listening to what you said, if there is one, I don't know if it's legacy or if it's looking forward, I think it's both, but maybe the most important thing, or what excites me the most, what inspires me the most, and my life keeps me very humble, is changing life, changing somebody's life. You know, the kids we spoke in New York City with City Parks Tennis, whoever is involved, I think we're changing life. Yeah. The kids we sent to college here, you know, with the scholarships, I think we're changing lives. Mm-hmm. This player I mentioned from the BNP Paribas Mac One, who played here wild card, match points.
Yeah.
I can tell you, I saw her eyes.
Yeah.
Her life has changed.
Yeah. Yeah.
And when I see what Felix does with the foundation, I think this contribution to the charity that has exponentially grown because of his contribution and her triple matching, if I may say.
He's winning a lot.
He's winning a lot.
That's a lot of money.
I think it's changing life as well. Yeah. And that, maybe if I were to pick one, that I would love this to be the legacy in the future.
Well, we'll leave it at that. For me, I just thank you for supporting tennis, and it's vital that we have companies like you stay in it for a number of decades, and clearly BNP Paribas has done that for a long time.
So it's lovely to have players like you know the game so well and who have become so skilled in the media world to communicate and to basically promote, explain so well what tennis means. Well, beyond the game itself.
We plan on doing a lot of things together, so we're going to change the world.
I look forward to our future.
In the tennis world. So,
thank you so much for having me today.
Jean-Yves, thank you so much for joining us. Okay. And go enjoy the tennis.
I will.
Stop talking to people like me. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
And that's it for this episode of the Racquet Magazine podcast. Thanks for listening. Our host is Renee Stubbs. Our co-host and producer is me, Caitlin Thompson. Music by internationally renowned DJ Stretch Armstrong. Thanks to Tim Rogerian and the team at Acast. Find us at racquetmag.com/podcast and subscribe to us at any of your favorite podcatchers.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.